The gospel of Jesus Christ does not include a blueprint for any political or economic system. This is among the many reasons why Christians of every time and place can live with greater or less success with nearly any political or economic system. But if the gospel does not include a blueprint, it does contain general principles, principles that can help us distinguish a just political and economic system from one that is unjust. Many of these principles can be known by the power of reason alone, unaided by divine revelation. Among these principles are the following. Every human person has intrinsic and inviolable dignity, which in a just society must be respected by every other person and by the state itself. Any human law which contradicts the eternal divine law is unjust and need not be obeyed. Divine providence is concerned with the destinies of nations and civilizations, no less than with the destinies of individual persons. Even pagans and the irreligious can serve the purposes of divine providence, whether they know it or not. The state is not sacred, and Caesar is not a god. Because the state is not sacred and Caesar is not a god, every human person is free in his or her conscience and cannot in justice be coerced in matters of religion and faith. And above all, the Lord alone is to be worshipped, and all earthly sovereignties are subject to his authority and to his judgment. And in the first lesson this morning from the book of the prophet Isaiah, we see one of these principles brought into bright relief. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, Cyrus. Who is Cyrus? Not a king of the house of David, not a king of Judah or Israel. Cyrus is a pagan and the king of Persia. But he is nonetheless an instrument of God's providence because it was Cyrus who conquered Babylon and then decided to allow the captive Israelites to leave Babylon and return to their home and rebuild Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord to his anointed Cyrus, whose right hand I grasp, subduing nations before him and making kings run in his service. It is God acting through the pagan Cyrus who accomplishes these works. Why? For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen one. And through it all, what is being revealed to the nations is this. I am the Lord, there is no other. I am the Lord, there is no God beside me, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is this very God who took flesh and became a man, and who in Matthew's gospel in chapter 22 stands in Jerusalem in the midst of his death struggle with the scribes and Pharisees, the elders and the priests. Recall that we are in chapter 22, the second of the five chapters in Matthew that occur between Palm Sunday and the Last Supper on Maundy Thursday. As is so often the case, the Pharisees come to Jesus with a question, apparently in deference to his wisdom and authority, but in truth, merely to trap him. Recall that Israel was at this time occupied by a hostile pagan power, Rome. The Messiah, the anointed one, is expected to be, as was David, a political and military leader who would lead the children of Abraham to freedom. An essential part of this would be throwing off the yoke of yeoman rule. And so they ask, is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? Matthew tells us that Jesus knew their malice. He realizes they're trying to trap him. But as is so often the case, he refuses to answer the question on the terms in which it is asked. He turns it upside down. Show me the coin that pays the census tax. They hand him the standard Roman coin. Whose image is this and whose inscription? Caesar's. Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. The state is not sacred, and Caesar is not a god. Remember, one of the most exalted titles of the emperors after Augustus, beginning with Augustus, is Divi Filius, the Son of God. And yet the one who speaks here is God the Son. In making this distinction between the secular and the sacred, between earthly authority and divine majesty, the Lord Jesus is opening a space of liberty, freedom of conscience. He's insisting that there is indeed an authority to which all must bow, an authority not of our choosing or making, the authority of the one true God, who alone is to be worshipped, but that every earthly authority, while dependent upon the divine authority, is nonetheless not supreme. My friends, this was a revolution in human affairs, not just for Christians, but for the entire human race. Insisting that the state is not sacred and Caesar, however he is understood, is not a god, was truly extraordinary. Kings, emperors, kaisers and czars, presidents, potentates and prime ministers, commissars and party chairmen are not divine. Their authority is not sacred. But there is a sacred authority in human life. And then there is a divine king to whom we owe everything. Sing to the Lord a new song, the psalmist cries out. Tell his glory among the nations, among all peoples, his wondrous deeds. For great is the Lord and highly to be praised. As disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, as friends of Christ, it is our duty and our privilege to bear witness to everyone that we must worship the Lord and tremble before him. The question is, how well are we doing this? Do our friends and neighbors and colleagues know by our deeds as well as by our words that we are subjects of Christ the King? Do they know by the way we live that we acknowledge but one final sovereign, the dominion of God the Son? The one who frees us from every earthly sovereignty, the Lord Jesus Christ.